I do love Mavs. They make me laugh out loud. I mean, they are funny.
Really?
Yes.
Buckle up, baby. The kings of controversy are on the microphone. It is time for another episode of Matt and Andrew versus Society.
What's up, you guys? What's up, you guys?
Indeed.
I'm back. Half of us are back again. Just came from the Smoothie King Center where the Pelicans fucking lost. It's so annoying. It's so frustrating. I guess first and foremost, I don't know. I forget when it was the other day. Matt and I were talking about doing something else. He's still alive. He's not missing, I swear. Just very busy. But we were talking about trying to do another, something more focused instead of just, not instead of, but in addition to just kind of recapping our lives day to day. I don't know when we'll be able to do any of this stuff, honestly, but we'll get it figured out. But yeah, just got back from the Pelicans game where they got fucking smoked in a must-win scenario against the Lakers. Just so annoying. Lakers fans are, especially the fact that there are so many in New Orleans, so many all over the place. They're just like, I don't respect them. If you're not from LA or like have no ties to the city, it really feels like Lakers fans who have no ties to Los Angeles, they are the NBA equivalent of the guys who show up on a video of a police officer unloading on an unarmed autistic person, commenting, "Context?" That's what Lakers fans are. They're bootlickers. They're stat quo, maintaining, just absolute fucking, like you have no business liking this team. You just picked a team that is a perennial winner. And you're like, yeah, I'm a fucking winner too. Yeah. Oh yeah, no, I'm fucking all for the people who are in power. They're gonna give me power too. I don't know. It's just losers, man. They're fucking losers. Their team wins, but they're losers. And LeBron James is ridiculous. It's like his 20th season. It's you can't argue with how good he is. He is unbelievable. But the Lakers fans, let's be honest, his best, like, yeah, he took a pretty mid Cleveland team pretty far, even 1-1 with a team that was without him probably just okay, maybe a 6 seed, maybe makes it to the second round type team. I'd have to look at their lineup again. But his best days definitely in Miami, and you have these people walking around like Lakers legend LeBron James, and to me, he is on loan. I know he's been out there for a little bit now, but it just never feels, because he's bounced around to Cleveland, to Miami, back to Cleveland, and going to the Lakers really felt like little more than a PR move. How about the people? You know, there's people that bought a LeBron Cavs jersey, burned it. Then he came back, they bought another one. And then when he went to LA, they burned it again. Those people are out there. Those people live among us for sure. They're crazy people too. Not as bad as Lakers fans. Context? Not as bad as Lakers fans. But he just, it feels like he's like, I want to go to Los Angeles to live in a mansion, nice weather, place where a lot of other famous people live. It doesn't, it feels like there's something inauthentic about LA in general. There's something inauthentic about it. Like in the fans who are like ride or die for LeBron are Lakers fans who are ride or die for LeBron. It's just kind of like, that's to me, that's like Tampa Bay fans when they signed Tom Brady, before they even won, when they signed Tom Brady, like they're all of a sudden they're ride or die for Tom Brady. And it's like, you guys got this guy on loan. Tom Brady is not, you know, Tampa Bay legend Tom Brady. Yep. No. Fuck that. Not at all. But the Pelicans played like dog shit. They had their fate in their hands. Played like shit. Against the Lakers again on ESPN again. And you know, people already don't pay attention to the Pelicans, so they see this small sample size of these nationally televised games and they look awful. And people are like, oh, the Pelicans suck, move the team. And I don't think I need to explain how angry that makes me. I think that's been pretty well documented on here. But yeah, I don't know. It's so frustrating. Things were going quite well. We finished with 49 wins. We would have been like second or third in the East, and we're seventh in the West. But such is life. Such is life. As far as East or Western Conference things go. But man, I've been to a couple of games this year that they should have won. And if they could have just won one of those games, this game wouldn't even matter in the slightest. And it's frustrating too, because they played so well on the road. At home, they're very average. At home, they're not impressive. You know what I'm saying? And it's frustrating because as a member of the fan base, maybe it sounds silly, but removing as much as I can and seeing the people around me, there's just, the fan base is rabid. People love the Pelicans, myself included. And it gets frustrating, one, that they do so well on the road. We don't get to watch them put on a show at home. Makes no sense, but they're not the first team to be like that. There's a lot of teams like that. But also, we people who quote unquote never think about the Pelicans come out of the woodwork to trash our team and our fandom. Come out of the woodwork. I don't know if because they think it's an easy target, which it's not, first off. One of the reasons I think I am such a hardcore Pelicans fan is because I can be petty as fuck. And I like it. I enjoy it. It's probably a character flaw, but I'm all in on it. You want to fuck around? I can show you how deep the shallow pool goes, motherfucker. Don't doubt it. Not for one second. I'll keep the receipts. I'll trash you and your team the second I get. We could be in dead last. If we beat you guys one time, I will, and not in a mean-spirited way. I like the nuclear option. I like to trash talk. But I don't mean to be mean, if that makes sense. I don't know. See, this is the stuff where we need to get our fucking schedule figured out, because I need to bounce these things off of Matt, because I feel like he knows what I mean. We're like, I like the trash talk. I like to go for the jugular, but I'm also like, I don't mean anything ill by it. It's just like anything else. I just like to win. I like to beat you. I like to trash talk. It's fun. I remember I waited and waited. And the second the bowls were eliminated, I hit my friend up to let him know that his take on the Pelicans was one of the most comedically bad I've ever seen. And the Pelicans were eliminated from the playoffs like 2 games later. And I don't care. Just stand behind the crazy shit I'm saying. That's all. But yeah, the people who just supposedly don't care about the Pelicans, don't think about the Pelicans all, the second they have the chance to trash the Pelicans, they come out of the fucking woodwork. It's like, for people you don't care about, you're sure paying very close attention. And I guess my whole point of that, what I'm trying to get to, is the whole reason that I feel at home in the fan base and have part of the reason I've become such a hardcore fan is because Pelicans fans, other Pelicans fans, are just like me. They like to keep the receipts. They like to be strategic with their trash talk, and they'll stand behind it no matter how nonsensical it is. But fan is short for fanatic, so let's keep that in mind. We're all a little nuts. Every fan base is stupid. Every fan base has bad people. I'm on here talking about how I like being fucking ruthless, but I'm not trying to be mean. What a dumbass. I have the self-awareness to know I'm an idiot, but I don't have the wherewithal to do anything about it. Jeez Louise. But man, it's frustrating. It is frustrating. The amount of games I've watched them lose that they should have won. Today wasn't one of those. They got fucking pounced. Fucking ragdolled. By a team that I don't think is better, which is another thing that's frustrating. Matt's having his own frustrations in the Milwaukee Bucks fan base. Giannis is shut down. They're going to have to play the Pacers. A hungry, young Pacers team against a former NBA champion team. Matt took umbrage with this, but the way that I described it was their window's closing. Dame is not Dame time. He has his moments. And the Indiana Pacers are young and hungry. And they probably smell blood. And they're probably not not going to let up. They probably are so excited to go into Milwaukee and play playoff basketball in an opponent's gym. There's the opponent, like I said, they smell blood. Chris Middleton's not the same. Dame is not Portland Dame. Giannis, out. They are gonna go, no pun intended, buck wild in that bitch. That I'll say, because Matt's not here. I want him here to bounce ideas off of him. But since he's not here, I'll give you my brutally honest take on the Bucks. And I don't think Matt would disagree is the thing. Is we talk a lot. We talk a lot of basketball. And he's pretty down on them. It's frustrating. When you get to the top of the mountain, it's very hard to stay there. And as fans, we didn't do any of the work. We're just along for the ride. We have this parasocial relationship, this love for this team, this love for the city they represent. And so we have no impact. We have no... All we have is hope. Just, oh, God, I hope they get it together. Oh, I hope. And that's really all you can do. You can't impact the game. You don't play. You're just along for the ride. But you know what? I love the ride. And I don't want to get off. I will be vocally frustrated. I honestly don't think the Pelicans are going to make the playoffs. They play the Lakers on Tuesday, and I think they're going to lose. And then they have to play the winner of the 9-10 play-in. And I just don't know, the way the Pelicans have played at home, the way Brandon Ingram is getting back off of injury. Today was his first day back, and he starts slow. It sucks. But, yeah, it's tough. Tough sitch we find ourselves in. Hockey, not much better. Matt, as an Islanders fan, gets to enjoy the Islanders scrapping their way into the playoffs. They've actually been playing better, too. But a big point of contention with a lot of NHL fans. First off, they hate overtime. They hate the shootout. I don't love the 3-on-3. But I don't hate. We don't need. This is the thing that I don't understand. Is, do you want them to play a full on a Wednesday night in January? Do you want them to play a full 20 minutes, sudden death, 5-on-5, and if that, if there's no resolution there, another full 20 minutes, 5-on-5, I mean, sudden death, so it might not be a full 20, but what do you want? That's what you want? I want to go to bed. I got shit to do, you know, and even if I don't, and it's my day off, like, let's get it over with. It's the middle of the regular season. Let's go. Come on. Okay, 5 minutes. You can't solve it? Dazzle us. That's what I like. I don't care about the waiting. The wait, I mean. The waiting as in W-E-I. G-H-T. The wait. Ugh. Sorry, my sinuses are going nuts. It started last night. The jasmine smells amazing, but pollen is everywhere down here, and it's nuts. Side note, when people tell me New Orleans stinks, I can tell that they've never left the French Quarter. When I ride my bike home from work at night, there's a little breeze, it smells like jasmine. It's fucking magic. But people, I don't know what they want. The shootout is great. I love the shootout. I want to see your best offensive weapons go one-on-one with the goalie and dazzle us. That's star power. That's fun. And people get mad at the way that it's weighted. They don't like that the losing team in overtime gets a point. They also seem to not like that the winning team gets two. One of the changes I've seen proposed is 3 for a win, 1 for an overtime loss. And someone ran the numbers. So what's happening is the New York Islanders are forcing a lot of overtimes and losing. So they're getting a point. And their win column is smaller than some teams that they have a points lead over because they scrap out a point. Someone ran the numbers. Okay, let's change the way it's weighted. It's three for a win, one for a three for a win, one for an overtime loss. The Islanders dropped like one slot. So they say they were in sixth place. When this was at the time of the person running those numbers, they only dropped to seventh place in the conference. Like, they're still playoff contention. And to me, that's hilarious. People just blindly complaining. It should be this. It should be this. They have no business being here. And then, you know, someone runs the numbers. And it turns out, maybe they're about where they're supposed to be. And that's hilarious. But the Minnesota Wild suck. Watching them lose to the Golden Knights with Marc-Andre Fleury in net. Tough. He had a bad game. Oh, well. These things happen. Getting off of sports, there has been a rash of people asking us to reserve space for them, asking us to make an exception for them because they don't want to rent space. So, as the event coordinator at work, I deal with these people who, it seems to be human nature. I talk to a lot of people in a lot of different businesses, and they experience it too. Everyone wants someone else to provide them with a high-end experience, but they don't want to pay a high-end price. So, they want to shut down our beer garden, which, you know, numbers have been crunched. We value it for 3 hours for us to shut it down to the public. You need to pay us $3,000 because that's what it's worth to us when it's open, especially on a Saturday night, man. Especially in spring when the weather's great, like it was yesterday. A little breeze coming off the river. Nice, hot Louisiana sun. But they don't want to pay that. They want us to just hold the space for them. And every now and then, these people come across the right people. For example, this one guy ran into our owner, or was talking with our owner on a plane on a trip to California. And now we get stuck holding the fucking bag. So let me tell you what happens. They are hosts or organizers of this rugby tournament that is hosted in New Orleans. They're looking for a place afterwards to get all the teams to come together and hang out. It's going to be about 300 people. So they want space for 300 people, but they don't want to pay for it. Now, our owners, who like to just kind of look, I think they're nice guys. They've always been nice to me. I'm not sure they know my name. Even though I'm in charge of a huge portion of their operation, which, you know, I guess that would make them bad leaders. I don't know what they're up to in their private lives. They've made a lot of money. I don't think they live in the day-to-day reality that a lot of us live in. And the guy goes, "Yeah, these guys are great. They're going to bring 300 people in. Just take care of them. Just take care of them." Okay. So we'll shut down the beer garden, a $3,000 value,
that we have ran the numbers on, that we have figured out it is worth this. This is the type of money that we can and will likely make if we're open to a public on a beautiful spring evening on the weekend, which yesterday was. We'll just give them the space. We go back and forth with them. Now, here's the other thing is we have a short order restaurant. People are always like, what are you guys known for? What are you guys famous for? And I'll be like, we're famous for ticket times. We're famous for if you order 3 tacos, it'll be at your table in less than 5 minutes. So look at the menu, get what sounds good. Don't worry about what everyone else is eating. That's such a weird fucking thing. What's your best seller? Drake's one of the best-selling artists of all time. He makes shit music. Who gives a shit what the bestseller is? Most people don't have taste. So we are trying to convince these people that might be 300 people coming in all of a sudden, all ordering food at once. We try and convince them, hey, you should get catered food. Hey, that way when you guys show up, there's plenty of food. Our kitchen doesn't get backed up. Our regular customers don't have extraordinary wait times because 300 of you descended upon us and all ordered 3 tacos and a burger at once. No, they don't want to do that. Okay. So, we shut down the beer garden. We are waiting for people to show up. And I'm sure if you're still listening to this long-winded complaint, that you can see where it's going. But let me tell you something. At most, 25 people showed up. Now, this kills our business, by the way, which... I'm not a fucking ride or die corporate guy. I am someone who's trying to pay their bills, and I'm dependent on us having customers. If you don't want to have a successful business, that's your business. I'll go work somewhere else. I'm not madly invested in the success of 7 guys who have more money than they could ever need and could ever earn. They've definitely... again, going back, I don't think they're bad guys, but to say that, like, no one earns money that way without exploitation. If you don't want to run a successful business, that's fine. Just let me know. I'll go somewhere else. But I need that beer garden open because I need customers because I have to pay my fucking bills. We have this beer garden shut down for free. 25 people show up. I'll say 10. We sold 10 beers. They showed up late, by the way. Yeah, so that was really fucking frustrating. And another big problem is the people committing it have not been the same, but it has not been an isolated incident. 2 weeks ago, party of like 100 people, invoice of about $7,000. This is a $7,000 party. Never put a deposit down. They don't show up. Now, this party supposedly was booked before I had taken over the role. So I just see a party on the calendar with an invoice, and I think, okay, well, this has been taken care of. I'll just see what we need to do, what space we need to provide, etc., etc. Boom, done. Nope, never showed up, never finalized. And yeah, I definitely, maybe I talked about this last week. I definitely should have, and I learned my lesson for sure. Definitely should have been looking closer at it. But it's brutal, man. We need customers. I've had a couple incidents. That same night, I saved a table for, I saved a couple tables for 20 people, and they never showed up. And again, they didn't want to pay for the space. They wanted to put a women's soccer game, which I have no problem with, but it is objectively not as popular as March Madness. That's just the simple, straight down the middle. That's the straight dope, buddy. It's not as popular as March Madness. And we set aside 20 tables and a TV. Hey, we've worked with you guys in the past and we just need some space and everyone will order their own food and stuff. Okay, that's fine. Nope. Don't show up. Didn't even read my email. Because our booking software, I can see when you open my email. Didn't even read my email saying, great, we will have a TV ready for you guys. Just asked for it and ghosted me. Not just asked for it and ghosted for me. We make the arrangements. The final email I send is, hey, sounds great. We'll have space for 20 of you. And we will have a TV dedicated to your game. We'll see you at 7:30. Thank you. Never even read my email. It's maddening. It is effing maddening. But yeah, it's happened a lot. And it always happens. It's been happening on Saturdays and just killing our momentum. Because when people come in and they can't go in the beer garden and the patio's full, and it's a nice day, people want to be outside. And the restaurant, the tap room itself is almost always full. They go somewhere else. There's no guarantees that they'll come back next weekend. It's very frustrating. And it drives me nuts. The guy I work with, he's like, because he's managed places before. He's like, I'll tell you something that my first trainer told me that is just proven to be true time and time again. No good deed goes unpunished. And I hate being that way. Or I hate thinking that way. I like to talk shit about sports. But ultimately, I like people. And I want to believe in them. And I want to do good things for other people. If for nothing else, because I think that it, even if it never comes back on you, which I think what you do will come back on you, I feel like I've experienced that a lot. I feel like I've seen it happen to other people a lot. So you should just try and be nice to people. Unless, of course, you hate their sports team. Then absolutely be ruthless. No, but sports tribalism, I'm all for. Goof around. It's not that serious. Go for the jugular. Trash talk. Play to win. But, you know, it should never go beyond, never go beyond school ground insults. But I just hate, and I hear him anytime I do these good deeds that go punished, wind up being punished for them. I hear him and I think, God, fuck you. Because I don't want him to be right. I want to do favors for people. And it doesn't even have to be like, hey, I scratch your back, you scratch mine. Because at some point, I'm going to get taken care of. I'm not worried about that. I like being nice to people. I like working in the service industry. I like being the facilitator of a good time. I really enjoy that. So when these things happen, and I hear his stupid little maxim in the back of my head. These fucking idiots ask for space for 300 people and don't show up. It makes me mad. Doubly. But as is the issue with this podcast coming out at the last second and just me doing it by myself lately, my schedule is absolutely fucked and I gotta run. At some point, nobody panic. I don't think anyone's listening. I don't think anyone's listening, which is kind of funny. But I still do enjoy like getting shit like this off my chest. And I never really cared how many people were listening. But let's be realistic about it. I don't think many people are listening. At some point, Matt and Andrew vs. Society will have Matt and Andrew on it again. But the schedule is fucked right now, man. And I say that to say this. Last 2 weeks, I've been able to stretch and hit an hour. I feel like I've been nothing but negative, contradictory in my own words, very poorly articulating the points I'm trying to make. And I'm going to hang it up because I have shit I have to go attend to. So you've been listening to Magic for Society. Thank you. We appreciate it. If you are on Apple Podcasts, rate, subscribe, and comment. Boy, do we love reading the comments. If not, check out Overcast. It's a great podcatcher app. I really enjoy it. I think I was saying last or 2 weeks ago, I've been using Spotify, and I just don't like it. I don't like it. The ads are so intrusive. Here, you know what? Stop the music. We're going to play. I'm going to show you exactly what I'm talking about. So there's a lot of, I know I've used Locked On Pelicans as an example. There's ads at the front and the end of the show. Welcome to Night Vale, my favorite fiction podcast. Shout out Isaac, friend of the show. I still am an active listener of this show that he introduced me to. I think within the first, I don't think they were even in double digit episodes yet when he turned me on to this. And they have hundreds of episodes now. I've seen them live, perform the show live like 3 or 4 times. Great fucking show. I love it. But ads, beginning, end. On Overcast, you can set show specific too. You can set when I hit play on Welcome to Night Vale, it skips the first 2 minutes. When I hit play on Locked On Pelicans, it skips the first minute and a half, and it skips the last 2 minutes. Those are always all ads. I got it timed out perfect. Since I've been using Spotify, one, you have to skip in 15-second increments. It doesn't have the interface options that Overcast has. And on top of that, it makes a really obnoxious sound. So here we go.
There are a lot of people who work to make ships the merch. We'll do the behind the scenes. We have this episode is with the name you asked, Progressive.
It has that like skip feature is very like disruptive. When you hit skip on Overcast, the 15-second skip, or you can also customize it to be a 30-second skip and a 15-second back, which is how I had it set up, which is why I think I need to just switch back. It compensates. The audio compensates. It sounds super choppy. That's not too bad when I'm listening to my speakers, the speaker through my phone, like I was just playing it. But when it's in your headphones, it's very abrasive. I don't know. All right, let's continue wrapping this up. If not Overcast, there's plenty of podcatcher apps. Don't use Stitcher Radio. They're dead to me. They might not exist anymore, and I might want to take credit for that. I killed those motherfuckers. That's what good trash talk does. That's what good-hearted trash talk does. It eliminates fucking jobs, baby. And we'll be back next week. Bye!
Wow, really amazing podcast, indeed.